Hey, this is Renee Baez with Rohi Christian Church. Just want to thank you for checking out our podcast. Hey, listen, Pastor Shayna Hurd is in a brand new series titled Reignite My Enthusiasm. And I pray that through this message, God speaks a word to you that'll change your life forever. Amen. Let's get started.
We learned last week that the word enthusiasm describes a people who receive revelations of the Holy Spirit. And if we looked at that definition in the dictionary, that is one of the definitions. It's really interesting that one of the definitions of enthusiasm is a people who receives revelations from the Holy Spirit. So, when we say revive my enthusiasm, you know what we're asking? For God to revive his spirit in us. For him to revive the flow of revelations and insight and connection with Almighty God. Because there is nothing like when God touches your heart and when you're in his presence. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, let's get to the word for today because I really believe this is a word. It's John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. We've been standing, we've been kneeling, you can sit. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. The title of my message today is Rivers of Enthusiasm. Rivers of Enthusiasm. And I'm going to start today and maybe finish next week or possibly finish it the week after. But we're going to be talking about seven rivers of enthusiasm. Now, if you want to replace that word with enthusiasm, with seven rivers of revelation of the Holy Spirit in your life, where the Holy Spirit is just pouring into you. B. King, can you grab my water for me, please? Sorry. John chapter 7, verse 37. Y'all ready? We're going to read 37 through 39. Before you do that, would you do me a favor? Hold your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. And I want you to say this with conviction because we're asking the Lord to do something today. Say this with me. This is my Bible. It is God. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. All right, John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. For the sake of time, I'm cutting out my jokes and we're just going to get in the word. They're kind of bad anyway, Lyd, let's be honest. We're working on that piece of my preaching. My jokes are not great. Yeah, no, I'm not going to tell it. John 7, 37 through 39. All right, let's read together. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified." Thank you, Father God, for this word. I want you, without even maybe, just trust me and just say, Father God, let the rivers of the Holy Spirit flow in me and through me. Speak to me today in Jesus' name. Father, move me aside. Holy Spirit, come in, and I pray that I will teach this word that you have released in my heart in such a powerful way that we can never be the same. That we constantly allow the river of the Holy Spirit to flow fresh in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody say
amen.
Amen. So I'm just going to cut to the chase, get right into this today. This story here in John chapter 7 is based upon a place and a time. It's set during the Feast of Tabernacles in the Jewish community. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was like a big camping event. It's like if I told the kids, hey, we're going to pitch some tents outside. Let's all go outside and have a good old time just worshiping the Lord. Every kid would be super excited. Well, most kids, maybe not mine, because we don't like to sleep outdoors. But, you know, it would be like if I said we're going to take an RV camping for some of y'all and for the rest of y'all tents. However you like to do it, but it's a big celebration where you go and the families of Israel would sit and celebrate by being in tents that they would make outside. And it would happen usually around September or October. The families would sleep outside in these little huts. And it was a commemoration of Israel's trip through the wilderness when they actually lived in tents. So this is a time when they would remember when they was out in the wilderness for 40 years. It was an annual reminder that they were a people who followed God's call, and during this time of traveling through the desert for 40 years, that God had stayed with them. It reminded them of God's goodness. Now, I love the children of Israel because the Lord kept setting up these feasts to remind them of what God did for them. I wish that we in America had more feasts to remind us of what God did for us. I know we have Christmas coming up and Easter, and those are great celebrations, but come on, I'm gonna need a feast to remind me of that time when he paid my light bill and I didn't know how I was gonna make it. I'm gonna need a feast to remind me of that time when I didn't have food on my table and God came, come on somebody, and God came and brought some food on our table. I'm gonna need a feast to remind me that God kept me healthy and kept me sane. I'm gonna need a feast to remind me that I don't look like what I've been through. I'm gonna need a feast to remind me that he brought me out of that dysfunctional family called my mama and daddy. I'm gonna need a feast to remind me of the goodness of the Lord. I think our problem is we don't feast enough. I ain't talking about eating. I think we eat enough. What I'm saying is I don't think we set up reminders that remind us of the goodness of God in our life enough, so that we often forget what God has done for us individually. The Bible tells us we ought to be sitting around telling our children the stories about what God did for us. But you know what some of us do? We don't want them to know the dirt we did. Because if I tell you the goodness of God, I'm going to have to tell you how I messed up. Because if I tell you how I messed up, you might not think that, you know, you might be like, oh, man, you might, mom, you kind of sucked. And I can say, yeah, I sucked, but God's still good. We don't talk enough about the goodness of God. I want to encourage us. This is not a part of the message today, but I do want to encourage us to take some time each and every year, I would say once or twice a year, where you remember what the Lord has done. They used to call them memorial stones in the Old Testament, or if you create a timeline. I have a timeline that I can look back and see what God did in my life at certain points in my life. And it helps me to stay grateful. It helps me to stay humble. It helps me to keep on worshiping. Y'all don't want to hear that. And that this is important because this feast was designed so that they would remember that God stayed with them. And what would happen was they would go to the temple, which is like the big church, and they would have these huge pots or these huge cisterns that would be filled up with water. And they would go to the top of the stairs of the temple, and they would pour water. They would let the water start flowing, and it would start gushing down the temple and the walls of the temple. And the reason they would do that is because it was a reminder of how God provided water from a rock when they was thirsty in the desert. And so how God provided millions and millions of gallons of water so that the people would not have to be thirsty and die in the wilderness. And when the water started flowing, the people would shout and they would praise God because they would remember that God provided for them in the wilderness. The God who delivered them also provided not just water that would come occasionally, but a river, a stream that would continue, a grace that continued and sustained them for 40 years in the desert. It was a river that they would not only arrive and say, yes, God brought me to a destination, which was the promised land, but God had a destiny for my life. It was a place where they remembered that it is not just about where I'm going, but that God has a purpose for me on the way to getting there. Those two terms, destination and destiny, are important. And they're important to distinguish in the life of the believer today. And let me explain to you why. Because for believers, our destination is heaven. We know one day we are going to go to heaven. But we forget that God has a destiny or a purpose for us while we're on our way to heaven. And what often happens is we get so caught up in the fact that, yes, we're saved. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. That's all good. That's settled. Got that taken care of. That we forget that God saved us for a reason. He didn't just save you, but he saved you for a purpose. And it feels like when you're going through circumstances and situations that God forgot what your purpose is. But I want to tell you that if you will remember that it is not about the destination, but the destiny, you will be reminded that God is probably trying to use whatever circumstance you're in to move you into your destiny. Y'all don't like this. You don't like this. You don't want to hear that the hurt you're going through is about where God's taking you. You don't want to hear that the mess you're dealing with is supposed to be turned into a message. You don't want to hear that the test that you're going through is supposed to be turned into your testimony. We forget. We get so caught up in whatever I'm dealing with that we forget that God has a purpose for me right where I am. I don't care if you're 12. I don't care if you're 5. I don't care if you're 75. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you. And we as believers need to know the difference. You ought to be asking yourself, God, why was I born? Why did you bring me into this marriage? What do you want to do in my life in this marriage? Some of y'all trying to figure out how to get out of a marriage. God's trying to tell you, figure out why I put you in it. Or why I allowed you to be in it. Let's say that, because God didn't put some of y'all in, some of them. Why do you feel the desire you feel for the vocation that God has given you? Because God allowed you to feel that desire to do that. Because it's a part of your purpose. The purpose of the river is that we may not only know the destination of heaven, but that we'll know the destiny of our lives. So Jesus stood and he says in John 7:37, the water's pouring out, and he stands up and he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Somebody say rivers. Now, I want you to notice that he didn't just say one river. He didn't just say out of your heart will flow a river. He said out of your heart will flow rivers, plural flow. In other words, the person who is launched or tied with Jesus, there is a pipeline of divine grace that flows in your life in a powerful way. And it is not just to be a flow that happens one time, but a continual flow that pours out of you. Now, I know some of y'all are like, I don't know if I understand what you're talking about. I'm going to make this clear. I'm going to show you this in a second. It is as if a fountain from heaven gets dispersed into your heart and you begin to flow into others, touching the world, touching the community, touching your family, touching people on your job. These rivers that flow out of people are the rivers where the Spirit of God dwells inside of you and comes out of you. All right, Pastor, I'm confused. Why are you talking about rivers? Because I want to show you something. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Because John 7:39 says, he spoke about this, talking about the rivers flowing, concerning the Spirit, so that those who believe in Jesus would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given because Jesus was not glorified. He's saying there's going to be a river flowing out of you, and Jesus is prophesying that river is going to come out of you once the Holy Spirit is given to you. And the Holy Spirit can't be given till Jesus goes back to heaven and is glorified. That's what that pastor said. Can y'all see that? Am I moving too fast? Because I get excited. Sometimes I move too fast. All right. Watch this. So Jesus predicts that there are prophesies that there is going to be an outpour of the Spirit into your heart that's going to flow out of you. Now watch this. Now Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Acts chapter 2, Jesus dies, goes to heaven, and Acts chapter 2, 33 says this, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, look at the language, he poured out this which you now see and hear. This was the day of Pentecost. This was the day that the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit came down. They had tongues separated. They start speaking and people start saying, wow, what are they doing? And they said, this is the pouring out. Somebody say pouring out. Pouring out suggests that there is some liquid flow. There is a river. There's something flowing out, right? He says, you got to catch this. The first expression that begins to flow as a river shows up when people start to do something. The Holy Spirit is poured out. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now, there's a lot of people who talk about tongues. You got a whole lot of issues. I understand that. I'm not getting into the tongue issue. But what I want to get to is what were they saying? Acts 2:11. says we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. They get filled. The fountain is released from heaven. The Holy Spirit comes in. And what begins to flow out of them is the first river I want to talk about today. It is a river of praise. It's a river of praise and worship. It was a supernatural expression of praise and worship to God. Why was it supernatural? Because they were speaking in a language they had never heard before. Now, some of y'all are like, I don't understand what this got to do with me. When you come to Christ, and when you ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, one of the first expressions that ought to come out is praise and worship. It is, look, if you think about a river, I want you to think about a river flowing almost as if it's like flowing over a dam, like the Niagara Fall, like a gushing river. He's not talking about a little trickle river. He's talking about a river that's just gushing so much out of you that you can't help but to control yourself. You can't control that powerful force that's coming out of you, and you just end up praising and worshiping. Come on, he's a good God. He's amazing. He's awesome. He's worthy of my praise. I just can't help to tell somebody about the goodness of the living God. See, the problem with many of us, the reason we've lost our enthusiasm, the revelations from the Holy Spirit, is because we've stopped the river of praise and worship from flowing out of us. If you will let the rivers of praise and worship flow, you will begin to feel a power surge come up on you. You will begin to feel something happening on the inside of you that you cannot control, you cannot understand, you cannot explain it. All you know is he's been good to me, and I gotta tell somebody else about the goodness of the living God. I can't hold it. I can't keep it. I can't sit on it. Jeremiah said it's like fire shut up in my bones. I can't help but to declare the goodness of the living God. Can it be that the reason we are struggling to declare the goodness of the living God is because we have stopped the rivers from flowing in our lives? What do you mean, Pastor, we've stopped the rivers? The Bible says don't quench the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? When you get to a point where the Lord is asking you to do something for him and you decide you don't want to do it, you just quench the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't like that. I don't like that. You just quenched the river. Don't know what people are going to say about me. You have just stopped being a river and you have started being a dam. And God is like, wait a second, there is a fountain flowing from heaven of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's flowing into your heart and into your life. And all I need is a vessel who will open the gates and say, let it flow. Come on, Jesus, do what you want to do. Use me. Let it flow. Let it flow. See, this is not about you anymore. Think about children. Children are considered immature because they think about who? I could just drop the mic right there and let y'all sit in that one for a second. Children are immature, and you know, they don't be born that way. They're supposed to be thinking. And the children who are generous, we get shocked about. Because that's not natural, we say. You got a kid, and here's what's funny, I always say. You got a kid that thinks about others more than they think about themselves, you will bust through doors, walls, you will work 5,000 times extra hour to make sure you can give something to that child because they think about other people and you want to bless them because that's so special. But it is normal and natural for our children to think about themselves. Our job is to help them to what? Grow up. Because when you grow up, you stop thinking about you. Think about it. That's the point of marriage. So you stop thinking about you. I know some of y'all didn't catch that. Some of y'all are like, no, that ain't the point of marriage. Point of marriage is to fulfill some things I need. The point of marriage is to make sure I got some help financially. The point of marriage is to make sure somebody is there for me when I'm lonely. That's the point of marriage. Now, that ain't the point of marriage. The point of marriage is you grow up and you stop thinking about yourself, because real love is about being concerned about somebody else more than you're concerned about yourself. It's about placing their needs above your own. When you have a child, look, come on, you got to grow up real fast when you have a baby. Don't nobody want to praise the Lord on that. Okay, I see how it is. Y'all forgot. Some of y'all kids, oh, you forgot how hard it was. Janae ain't forgot. Her baby's only like a year and a half. You forgot how hard it was when you're constantly giving of yourself to another human being. See, that's maturity. That's when you grow up. Guess what, church? That's what maturity looks like in the body of Christ, too. You're not thinking about you all the time. You're thinking about somebody else. You're thinking about, God, what can I do for you? Not what can I get? And when you do that, you keep the gates of the rivers flowing in your life. You keep the gates of praise coming out of your life. Oh, man, I'm so excited about this. Let me tell you why praise and worship is so important. Because praise is appropriate for the people of God. Do you not know you were made to praise God? All of the earth praises the Lord. You don't believe me? Go to the beach and look at the ocean. It's praising the Lord. Every time the winds and the waves blow, it's praising the Lord. You ever heard a bird sing? You know what they singing? They ain't singing Justin Bieber. Birds are singing worship and praise to the Lord. All of the earth. The Bible says in Romans 8 that all of the earth is groaning and moaning for the day when we're all worshiping and praising God. Do you not know that we are the only creatures that are fighting back worship? Y'all don't want to hear. Birds don't say, I don't want to sing today. I don't want to sing today. I don't want to sing today. No, they're just singing. Chip, 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 chip. And you sitting there, let them birds get on my nerves. Let them birds do what they got to do. They are worshiping. All of creation is releasing the praise inside of them. All of humanity is fighting back the rivers of praise. Will you be a river or will you be a dam? D-A-M, kids. What are you going to be? Are you going to be the point that stops up God's praise from being loosed in this earth? Or are you going to be the person where you say, God, just go on and let it go. Flow through. Some of us are like, but I don't praise like that. See, I never asked you. I never asked you to tell me how you're supposed to pray. I just said, just do it. You never see God just being like, nah, I don't like that praise song like that. The only time you hear God talking about how he has a problem with praise is when it doesn't come from a person's heart, when it's not truthful from their own heart. That's the only time you hear him talk about it. But otherwise, I don't care if you can't hold a note. Crack it and sing it. Because I want to let the river flow. Why? Because why is it so important? Why is it so important? When you begin to praise God, your whole attitude changes. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't going to get through no other rivers. This is going to be the only river today. So if you want more, just come back next week. Your whole countenance changes when you praise the Lord. So if you want to know why you got an attitude and why you're frustrated and why you're not feeling good, when was the last time you just let the rivers of praise flow through you? When was the last time you just said, God, I'm going after it. I don't need no music. I don't need no song. I can just do my own. I'm just going to let it go. God, you've been so good to me. I posted on Facebook this morning. It was the best thing ever. It was this boy. And you know how they have the multiple panes of pictures where one person singing one song and they playing all this stuff? He sung Row, Row, Row Your Boat. But he made it a gospel worship song. And he started talking about row, row, row your boat, gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life's but a dream. And then he started going into how good God has been to him. And because he's been good, I'm just going to keep on serving you by rowing. And I was sitting there, I was like, that boy is worshiping. He don't care what song is on. He going to work because the rivers of worship are flowing inside of him. When the rivers are flowing, you don't struggle to get to worship. Worship is bubbling outside of you. You can't wait. Look, wherever I go, I'm going to worship. I'm in my car, I'm worshiping. I'm on my job, I'm worshiping. Look, come on, y'all don't understand me. That don't mean I'm just listening to music, that means I'm constantly saying, God, you're good. God, you're worthy. God, I bless your holy name. There is no other God like you. You're amazing. Father, I praise you. And some of y'all are like, they're going to fire me if I say that. I get it. I'm not saying go in a meeting. They say, what time are we supposed to be there? You say, praise the Lord. I don't know. I just want to give him praise. You're going to get fired if you do that. But the way you live your life should be one where I'm giving him honor and I'm giving him glory. And I'm saying there's nobody else like you. I'm giving my best because you've been the best in my life. The rivers are flowing. The first expression that came out of them was praise. And it wasn't just an expression of joy and rejoicing. You know what it was? It was an expression of war. It's an expression of war. What do you mean? There is nothing that overthrows the strategies of hell and Satan more than your praise and your worship. Satan is a fallen angel. Those you don't know the story, I'm going to tell it to you because we got little ones. They may not know the story. Satan used to be an angel. And he used to be an angel who the Bible says his body was made, his very being was made of timbrels, which meant they were made of like organ pipes. His very body was made for worship and music. And he would be the chief architect of worship. But then he decided, I want to be God. I want that song coming to me. So what happens is when you open your mouth and you begin to praise God, he gets mad because he wants all praise on him. Y'all missing this. You missing this. So when you praise and when you open your mouth and talk about the goodness of God, Satan is like, that can't take it. It's just too hard. Shut up. He can't handle it. And what happens is he withdraws back because he can't handle hearing people give praise that he so desires for himself. So when you praise, you begin to push the enemy back in your life. So you're sitting there going, this is so hard, God. This ain't gonna work. God says, praise me. I don't feel like it. You know what you just did? You just said, Satan, just hang out here. Keep on messing with me. Keep on telling me how this ain't gonna work. Keep on talking. That's what you're doing when you don't open your mouth. And now I want to tell you got to open your mouth because Satan is not God. He can't read your thoughts. I'm praising him right here. No, you're not. Shut up. Open your mouth. What are you talking about? If you want to fight with somebody, anybody ever get in a fight with somebody? Come on, I need, ooh, yeah. Give me one good kid. One kid that's close to my, come on, Brittany. Not Brittany. Bailey, come up here because she's close to my height. Watch this. When you get in a good fight, come on, babe. Most of us, when we get in a good fight, don't be like this. Most of the time, well, if you're from St. Louis, if you get in a fight, you're going to be like, look, I'm going to tell you what I'm about to do. I'm about to do this. I'm about to do that. I'm about to go all in. And you're talking about what you're about to do. And look, watch what happens when I start. You're about to do this. I can't even take you. Come on, get on my face. Look, she start moving back. You see how her face is looking like, oh, my God. What is happening? Watch this. One thing Satan can't stand is the word of God coming out of your mouth. So when you're praising God and you're standing, watch this. One of the passages that God gave me this week was a passage in Psalms 42. And he says, you know what? My enemy's coming. My enemy gets so hard. I got so much despair. But then he says in the middle, but I will yet praise him. I will yet give him glory. I will yet worship the Lord. And as he does that, he pushes the enemy back. Now, I want to give you another scripture because most people take this scripture. Stay up here, Bailey. Most people take this scripture out of context. Isaiah 59:19. They read it wrong. And the reason we read it wrong is because we don't understand, you know, the Hebrew and how the Hebrew commas and grammar works. But what it says is, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, watch this. Most people read that as, hold your arms up like this. when the enemy comes in like a flood over me, the Lord is going to come back and try to fight it and hope we can push it back. That's not what that passage says. Stand back. Drop your hands. Put the passage back on the screen. In the Hebrew, put it back on the screen. In the Hebrew, the grammar is read like this. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Now, the comma in the English is in the wrong place. But the reality of it is we think the enemy is more powerful and we just hoping the Spirit of the Lord can fight back. But this passage is saying the enemy is not coming in like a flood on you. Look, come on, somebody. When the enemy comes, anytime, anyway, like a flood, the Holy Spirit comes over him and raises up a standard. Thank you, baby. And raises up a standard against you. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Holy Spirit will show up. When you worship the Lord, you keep the rivers flowing. So that, come on, somebody. So that when the enemy shows up, the flood is already there. It's almost like the rivers of Niagara Falls are already flowing. You ain't got to work to get them in. He's just like, But if you stop the rivers, come on, somebody. You got to prime the pump to get the rivers to work. So the enemy stay there a little bit longer. So you're like, God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. God, I need you. Oh, Father, God, help me. Oh, Lord, I worship you. I pray. Oh, Jesus, I give you glory. It take you a little bit longer to let the flood open up. So if you keep the rivers flowing, whenever the enemy shows up, you're going to constantly be pushing him back. Which means if the rivers are flowing in your life, when you walk on your job, rivers are flowing. The enemy got to run. I don't have to conjure up the power of God if I allow the rivers to keep flowing. I don't have to work. I ain't got to push like that because the rivers are flowing. See, y'all missing this. Y'all missing this. The reason why the enemy keeps your mouth shut and not praising is so that when he comes in, you have to work harder to get the river. You know what it means to prime the pump? You might not. See, y'all city folks, man. I don't know nothing about that. My grandparents, anybody grew up on a farm, been around a farm, seen a farm? Okay, I'll take that. My grandparents had a farm. And I was 5 years old, and I used to hate it because I was a city girl. I grew up in St. Louis, and my grandparents lived in Alabama, and my parents are like, you got to go down there, and you got to stay with them. And I was like, I don't stay with them on that farm. Ain't no TV. Ain't no mall. Can't walk around the corner. Ain't got no friends. It's like, you know, a mile to the nearest neighbor. Country. So country, my granddaddy built a house. They ain't had no construction permits. You figure out what kind of house you living in if your granddaddy built it. It ain't all too stable. Watch this. But what they had was they would have a well. And the well had a pump. And water would flow out of like a spigot coming out of the well. And the funny part is if you didn't get any water that morning, because of the nighttime, the water would all settle to the bottom of the well. So what the pump would do is you would stand there like this and pump. That's the reason why they was in such good shape. I ain't gonna even lie. We want water. We go to the refrigerator like this. Press the button, water come out. They wanted water. They was like. And you would pump. And what was happening when you pump was the air pressure was pulling the water up to the point, come on somebody, that if you kept pumping it enough, the water would start to flow and it would have a continuous flow coming out of it. So then you could just set your bucket down, come on somebody, and the water would keep flowing to the point that even if you stopped, come on somebody, if you stopped with the pump, if you left the spigot open, the water would still be flowing. See, what's happening with us is we have shut off the river of praise and worship in our lives. And when the enemy is coming in, we're having to work really, really hard to get worship and praise to start flowing again. And because we're working so hard to get worship and praise to flow again, Satan is pushing harder and pushing harder. And what many of us do is we say, this is too hard. This ain't working. I give up. So that the waters, the streams of praise and worship never come. And if the streams of worship never come, then the enemy is like, I got you. I won this battle. I'm going to take you down. I got everything you need. Look, come on, the enemy is like, I got it. But God is like, if the water was continuously flowing, when he showed up, he would instantly hit the water and he would have to run and flee. Watch this, because he can't handle that. So what do you need to do? You need to keep the rivers of praise and worship flowing in your life. Pastor, why is that important? Because you think the river of praise and worship is just about how good you feel. It ain't about you. The rivers of praise and worship is so that whenever you go somewhere, whenever you show up, the enemy says, oh my God, there's a river, I gotta go. So that when you walk in the hospital and the doctor tells your friend you got cancer, I just showed up, a river's here, cancer gotta go, because he just ran into a river. I show up and I don't talk about, oh, woe is you, you got cancer. I say, praise the Lord. God is a good God. God is moving even now. God's hand is right here. I give him glory and I give him honor, because the goodness of God is still here. He is a God who cares about, come on. And when that happens, the enemy can't keep talking about what the enemy, well, oh, I'm going to take you out again, because he can't handle that. Pastor, what do you want me to do? I want you to just let the rivers of praise and worship flow. It's not about just gratitude. It's about declaring the goodness of God and allowing whenever he wants to say it for you to let it come out of your mouth. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm going to close on this. Church is the place. Sunday mornings is a good spot that if for some reason the rivers have stopped flowing, you can come in here and we can pump it back up. This is why it's important to come to church every Sunday. Because if I come to church every Sunday, the worship and the praise just flows. I'm going to tell you something. If you're trying to do this by yourself, you'll get tired of it. You'll get wiped out. But when you come to a place where the rivers are just already flowing, it's like the gush hits you and you just jump right on in. Like some of you this morning. Some of you this morning was like, I didn't plan to be on my knees at the altar, but hey, river's flowing, might as well jump in. I got so much to say about this. I'm going to tell you what my second river is, but I'm not going to talk about it till next week. It's the river of prayer. And they go hand in hand. Worship should constantly be flowing out of you, but prayer should be flowing out of you too. And the announcement that I wanted to share with you is this week we're going to start, because I realized that we have not had prayer consistently, and I've been asking God, how do we do it? And this is just the start. This is not the end. This is not where we're going to end up. This is the beginning. We're going to start the river flow of prayer pumping and worship. Wednesday at 12 noon, we're going to be having a 30-minute prayer call. Crystal, were you able to, did you see that at the bottom? Did you make a slide with that number? If you look on, I'm going to send an email out to all of you. If I don't have your email address, you might want to give it to me. But if you got a pen and piece of paper, I want you to write this number down. Because it's a phone call. You just call in. I'll be on the line, and we're going to start praying. And we're going to start releasing some rivers in the house. You ready? You got your pen or you got your phone? The phone number is 605-468-8786. 605, Adam, I can hear you, 605-468-8786, and it's going to have an access code. It's 596981. The access code is 596981. Look for your emails, or look on the Rohi Facebook page. That prayer number, that number, and that call will be there. We're going to pray for 30 minutes, because I want to prime the pump for what God's going to do next week. We're going to start doing this every Wednesday. okay? It's only 30 minutes. Hopefully it's during your lunchtime. You can grab in. It's the start. It's not the end. Let me tell you something. This is just prime to pump. What can you do to keep the rivers of praise and worship flowing? Every day, start your day by just thanking the Lord. Open your mouth. If you can't do anything else, the minute you get out of bed, if you want to get out of bed and get on your knees, do that. If you want to just get out of your bed and stand up, but just start the day by saying, thank you, Lord. I mean, open your mouth, funky breath and all, ain't brush your teeth, none of that. God is like, I don't need you to brush your teeth first. Look, I've invented all the stuff that's happening in your body. Just praise me anyway. Just open your mouth and just begin to thank him. Can we close today with just a minute where we let the rivers of praise and worship flow? Where we just begin to say, thank you, Lord. Come on, begin to say, thank you, Lord. Begin to worship him. You're worthy, Father God. Jewel, come on up. Jewel, come on. Come on, I just want you to just let the rivers flow. Just let it flow. Let it flow.
Just want to thank you again for checking out our podcast. If you would like to learn more information about Rohe Christian Church, you can find us online at www.rohechurch.org. And also like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Rohe Church. We hope you enjoyed the message and we'll see you again next time. Be blessed.